From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 75, Episode 1 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah. The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Monday, March 25th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jackie O'Boy. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Ray!
You all right?
Just yeah, man, my voice. Yo, I was out real late last night.
Yeah, the Mueller report has everybody fucked
dude,
up.
Oh, dude, you know.
Well, yes, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. And I rant all night and day. A good in Miles of Gray. You know that one. Flock of Seagulls.
Flock of Seagulls.
I didn't know that was a band. I remember in Tommy Boy, there's a thing where I think David Spade calls the person working at the ticket counter at the airport Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah. Samuel Jackson.
Oh, wait, no. Jules, that's what it is. Pulp Fiction. Dude. Yeah, it goes Flock of Seagulls. Where's the case at?
You, Flock of Seagulls.
Anyway, yes, that was AKA brought to you by at Soltis Hannah. Analyze that.
No, the one by your knees.
The one by your knees.
Anyways, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore. He is the host of the Nerdificent Podcast with Danny Fernandez. He is Mr. Iffy Waddyway,
a.k.a. Lifty Lotta Weights, thanks to TJ Scott Comedy. He sent us all the way back last year, September, and that's how long I think it's been besides the live show.
Yeah,
because I've been in this room making these bucks, but I'm back. I'm broke. Subscribe to me on Twitch. We're almost at 100
Please.
Subs.
Take yo, we're right. And his rig is not a game.
Yeah, it's not a game.
Even though he's playing games.
I've been getting mad claps in Apex Legends.
Oh.
We'll talk about that. That'll be my gamer update.
Okay.
But I'm ready. I got to, you know, what do you want first? One, the over under myths. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm in.
You are ready to go.
Well, let's not forget Super Producer Anna did rush us before we started.
Yeah, she did. So. She was like, I've got somewhere to go. I have to cut.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for joining us. Where can people find you, man?
She's going to have like a bris for her dog or something.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better, check in with your gaming lifestyle.
Yeah.
In a moment, first, we're going to tell our listeners just a couple of things we're talking about today.
All
the important information you want to know about Papa John's. Mm-hmm. They're out here finding new people to front their organization. We're going to talk about some Breaking Bad inspired beer. Mueller turned in his paper.
Whatever.
We're going to explain what that means. We're going to throw to Miles Gray, who has a update on the Mueller report.
We just don't know.
Okay. We're going to talk about why the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee can go fuck itself, how Fox's racist anchor policy is working out for them, all of that and much more. But first, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, okay. I forgot about that question. I'm gonna get buck wild.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna just pull it up and see what I searched recently. So in my search history, let me see. Ooh, I'm going on Chrome, so it's about to get real real spicy. Yeah. Oh, it's basically actually perfect. It's that Rebel ice cream. Me and Anna were both keto. In the keto clan, you know, we found it like because they're so. How do I start? I feel like most people know what keto is, but as a refresher, if you don't know, it's a high fat, low carb diet. You know, medium to high protein if you're like me, getting it in. And it's been known to shred pounds, mostly because what you're doing is a scientifically proven plan, unlike many other diet plans, where you're taking out the carbs, burning the glycogens in your liver so that your body now has to burn fat for energy.
Yes.
And since it's burning fat, you're just a fat burning factory.
There you go.
And you get shredded up.
And your crotch stinks.
Yeah, and your crotch stinks. Anna did confirm that too, Super Producer Anna. I
saw the articles. A lot of people are like, Bill, man, this keto crotch is not a game.
Yeah, yeah. You know, wife hasn't complained yet, but you know, I've always been dirty. I've always had that dirty dick.
Damn, he's a dirt boy.
Just dirty.
Dirt nasty.
Hey, if hey. But
why your crotch so smelly? What the fuck?
But the thing about it is a lot of these keto creations, like how they get you is it's always like something dope for a reasonable price, and then they're like, oh, but to ship it is gonna be a lot. So they for this one that me and Anna ordered, it was like, look, if you get like a few of them, it was like $17 shipping. But if you buy like a case of eight, you get like $3.99 shipping. So I was like, oh, wait, I know another keto warrior I'm about to see today. Let's just go half. And we spent right before this episode divvying up the ice cream, and it was very fun.
Nice.
And you're feeling optimistic about this ice cream.
Oh, yeah. I feel because I looked at the ingredients and it's using like real cream and stuff. So it's because you can make keto ice cream. It's just the way that ice cream typically is mass produced uses a lot of just the regular milk that has a lot of sugar. But if you just swap the sugar with erythritol, which is a natural occurring sweetener, you get keto ice cream. So you can get it because that's the thing where everyone's always like, I can't do keto. But it's actually very easy because you're just eating cheeseburgers without the buns.
Yeah, and also Wingstop, keto.
Yeah, still keto. Oh my God, I jam
Think
on
about
some wings.
That.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh, maybe I could do it.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I like fries too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is that's the first thing I'll go back when I take a break is I'm just jamming on some fries. I really don't. Bread is like, it's cool. With me, it's helped me find like which burger spots really are as good as they claim they are.
Right.
Because a lot of burger spots I've found riding on the bun.
Yeah.
Riding on the bun. I feel like that's a big Shake Shack thing. Is the bun, the bun that they use at Shake Shack is what kind of makes it slap. And for the price, you're gonna need more than that. The In-N-Out, you go get a 3x3, no bun.
Yeah, protein
slaps.
Style.
Oh, still you know? Slaps.
Just make sure you don't eat it on, don't be wearing a nice outfit.
Oh my God, I've found that out. I've forgotten three times because you know, I'm always eating and driving and it'll just drip through. And I was like, this ain't the type of drip I was trying to do today, you know?
Yeah, man, I would eat an In-N-Out burger a lot if I didn't eat French fries. But,
wow.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated, just to kind of, you know, live in the season right now, brackets about other things.
Oh, God. Okay.
That is my favorite thing to do around this time because, you know, it's around the Final Four. Everyone makes brackets. I just did a cereal bracket. Bleacher Report put out a trash cereal bracket. Their seating was trash. The cereals they chose were trash, but I still played out their bracket. Ooh. And it seemed like everyone agreed with me.
Oh, how many cereals they start with? 64?
Oh, my gosh. You ready to hear this bracket? Look, I'll try and do it super
quick. Just tell me, like, the top 15.
Top 15 is it's
hyper speed.
It's super trad. Okay, let me just pull it up real quick. Blip,
blip. Is it an Elite Eight or is it?
No, it's the best cereal bracket. Number one. Number one seed on the left side is Lucky Charms. Number two is Honey Nut Cheerios. Number two is Honey what? Nut Cheerios.
Yeah, Honey Nut Cheerios pretty good.
I mean, not a number
two
seed.
Nobody can say no to the.
And then the snub, number three, is Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which is a one seed cereals. Yeah. Four is Apple Jacks. So that's on the left side. On the right side, number one is Frosted Flakes. I can rock with all that. Right. Number two, Captain Crunch. Regular Captain Crunch. What are you smoking?
Wow.
Number three,
you need some crunch berries. Is that what you're saying?
This is going to be divisive, but I'm thinking it's too high. Honey Smacks. I knew it. Some people rock for Honey Smacks.
Yes.
For me, it's not a number three seed.
I love fucking Honey Smacks.
Number four is Cocoa Puffs, but pretty much I had Fruity Pebbles take it because Fruity Pebbles was a six seed and it beat out Honey Smacks for me. So that's already going to be
right.
There's just not enough separation in the world of cereals for it to be analogous to the NCAA tournament.
I mean, yeah, because you like if you have Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Puffs, you can't have Cocoa Krispies or you know.
Also, Rice Krispies treats needs to be in there.
Yeah, dude, that's
Krispies treats cereal needs to be in there.
Yeah,
right.
And I would even opt for Kix like a 12 seed,
like the 8 seed, which is the equivalent of a 16 seed. They did make that intentionally shitty because it's Wheaties and
Lucky
Rice Krispies.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just straight Rice Krispies.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what we're looking out for. Yeah, that's terrible, man.
Yeah, SB Nation. I said Bleacher Report first, but that was SB Nation.
Okay.
Yeah, SB Nation. Also, very lazy. Like, you couldn't come up with 64 cereals? Sorry,
I know,
this is what I used to do for a living. Yeah, so I'm like, come on, guys.
I invented the listicle.
You're right. There's so many stub cereals that you could have come up with 64.
That's just so random.
Yeah. Also, man, pay your graphics intern a little bit more. That's correct with that.
The graphics on that. Lame. What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, man. Overrated right now is just, I think, game streaming. Everyone's real hyped of this like Stadia that Google just announced. Stadia,
right.
Stadia. And then now Xbox.
Stasi, I think, is the German secret police.
Yeah. And then also, like, the Xbox One is about to release with a diskless version that only downloads. And, you know, at first I was like, all right, calm down, guys, because people were getting mad about games going digital. But I'm cool with games going digital as long as you do have the physical copies you can get. Because there is something to, like, all right, what happens if, you know, Y2K happens? Mm-hmm. You know what? Or what happens if, like, think of right now how many Atari games you can play, how many Genesis games. Like, if your company that you're buying game for go under, they're not going to keep those servers up.
Right.
So you're just out of all those games that you spent real money on.
Mm-hmm.
So I am on team, like, no, don't you dare go full digital. Give me my physical company. Give me my physical copy because who knows how long you want to keep these servers.
Yeah. Going. It's funny because I was able to let go of like DVDs because everything's gone digital.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's still something about looking at a rack full of games that still sparks my childhood pride of like, look at all these games I got.
Yeah. Cause that's young Miles like, yeah, we did that.
Yeah. Cause I remember as a kid, I'm like, I only have fucking Mario Paint.
Yeah.
On Super Nintendo.
I was playing a whole bunch of PlayStation Underground demos.
Yeah. Right.
My
exactly.
My dad was not spending
money. Yeah. Like, or you stealing from the newsstand, just like rip out the demo. Oh, disc and run. That's how I played Metal Gear Solid the first time. But yeah, I see how that goes. I feel the same way with music because that's why I buy stuff on vinyl because I'm like, if we really wipe out electricity, I can like hand crank this little J. Dilla rough draft LP and listen to the vibrations on the needle and still get my little
alt
intro.
And there's nothing like, you know, because at first I was real shooketh because the Amoeba is closing down, but they've confirmed that they're moving to another place where they're going to sell weed on site. And I was like, oh, that's better than this one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they
good
just announced. And I was like, I can't imagine how many baked out people are just going to be going through records all day.
Yeah, not buying shit. That might actually be counterintuitive for their business plan. Like, high people, record shopping. I mean, I would probably forget what I was looking for.
Yeah.
I'm not good high shopping.
Yeah, no, not at all.
It's impossible to make a
decision. Yeah, yeah. And you lose your, like, focus.
Yeah, don't they, like, give you stimulants at used car lots to try and get you, like, they give you, like, coffee to, because then you're, like, more likely to be like, fuck it, man, let's do it.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I would just offer them a hit of whatever drug they wanted.
Yeah.
And like, hey, what is it going to take to get you in this Dodge Ram?
It's just, like, it's
yeah, because you're just sitting up there just thinking of all the hypotheticals. You're like, man, if I get this charger, man, yeah, I'm going to be dipping and everything.
Right.
But what if I have a kid, man? Like, I ain't trying to roll around in a van. But
baby seat and my gaming PC.
Good kid, Mad City, that cover was tight with the van. So I might just go with the van or something. Oh, no, my wife sent me here to get a car.
I like the idea of someone who uses the Good Kid, Mad City album cover to be like, you know what?
Vans
I fuck with a van.
Yeah, yeah. It's time to get
that was it.
I mean, that van was very useful to his family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody was wanting it, you know? Mm-hmm. Man, I could keep going on the van thing. If it sounds like you had like another hour of van material.
Oh, yeah. No, I
vans,
definitely...
if you throw them, they land on their bottoms.
Well, that's my pitch for the next vans. House Stuff comedy podcast.
Van
is
talk.
High van talk. You know, get people high and we just show a van to all our guests.
What you think, man?
Oh, that shit hard, man. Cool. Yeah
every week you go to a used car lot, see if you can test drive a van, and just hotbox it, and then just record from inside this van, and then just like use all the... Wow, that's a good show.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Carfax.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh, man. For me, and I think it's just been just with the movies and the nerdverse right now, the idea in the saying diversity for the sake of diversity, like that is a period point blank myth. There's no such thing as diversity for the sake of diversity because the world is diverse. So if you create a diverse world, you're just only grounding your world in realness. When you, all these shows that take place in New York and are full of white people, it's like, what is this only taking place in Manhattan? Because, you know, especially Spider-Man, when it's supposed to be in the Bronx, is like, I saw no Caesars, no Dominicans, bodegas. Not until the new one. The new one, then I was like, that looks like new.
Were people wearing Tim's at least?
Yeah, yeah. They were wearing a Tim, but they were like cut like Birkenstocks.
Right, or it was the Colorado brand
boots. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Toby McGuire had Birkenstock Tim's.
That's a really good point. I mean, yeah, it's more like white supremacy for the sake of white supremacy.
Yeah.
Because like all the, when you go back and look at movies like from past eras and everybody is white, and it's just like, first of all, that's unrealistic. Second of all, that is not good for the bottom line. Like now people, as you can see, like by making your movies more diverse, more people want to go see them.
Thought?
Yeah.
Third of all, like there's so many reasons.
Who's been shouting this on podcasts?
But I guess some people use that diversity for diversity's sake as when people so clearly are just sort of like empty-headedly just diversifying. Not to say that it's bad, but there are some people who just feel like without actually understanding the importance of diversity. Just trying to do it because it's like, I guess I got to do this now.
Well, I feel like there's two fatal flaws when people are introducing diversity. If you're just going to make it diverse to make it diverse, cool. But don't, like, write a back pat in there. A lot of people want, like, back pats for diversifying themselves.
Yeah.
Like, no, you just wrote a well-grounded story. And I think another thing is, like, making a diverse character and not really thinking about, like it's not even, like, you know, because we talked about this on Nerdificent and like I had like, you know, a couple of like writers who was like, I'm a white guy and like, you know, I want to be diverse, but I don't want to. It's like, no, you can write person of color characters, minority characters, but you do have to take into consideration how the world is different for them. Like, don't write a story where something happens in the hood and they're calling the cops because that just won't happen. That's not a thing we do. Like, and just
like, I'm a white character from Haiti.
Yeah, and don't only go to BET BET's getting better, so I'm not going to drag. But don't go to the Shade Room comments for black dialogue.
Right.
Like, you know, just know that black people aren't a monolith. You have like black nerds, and you just have relationships. And I'm gonna just say it here, like I said on Nerdificent, if ever in doubt, send your script to a person of color friend and see what they say. Like, if you have black people in it and you're like, I don't know if this sounds corny, now send it to a black friend. And if you ain't got black friends, send it to me. I'm going to roast you first. And then I'm going to tell you, get some black friends. Go to your local basketball court.
Oh, shit. God damn. And he dismantled his own
army. I know. No, go to you can find. It's so funny because like there was this idea. Like I remember, like I set this statement a few years back, and I was like, get a black friend. I was like, so we should just get friends because they're black. And I was like, yeah, just don't tell them that. Like you know, like really, you
expand
should
expand your world of experience.
Because,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's nothing like talking. Like I like one thing I like doing is surrounding myself with queer folk and black women because they view the world differently. And talking to them about issues it gives me a whole different perspective. And you know, I'm not going up to them like, hey, I'm looking for a gay buddy. But hey,
can we flick it up one time?
Yeah, yeah.
Hashtag ally.
Yeah, we're gonna find like some common ground and where you know, and if we connect, we connect. But I do think. Like, don't be afraid to use the word that I'd say is a myth. Don't be afraid to diversify your friends for the sake of diversity. Like, it's always good. You'll be surprised how many good conversations you have. Don't like come out the gate with these hard convos though.
Right.
Definitely like build up the friendship first. But when you do get to that point where you can have someone like, I love a situation where I feel a certain way and I feel like it might be like, you know, it'd be good to have a different perspective on it. You know?
Yeah, totally. All right. Speaking of a different perspective, Papa John's has replaced Papa John himself, Papa John Schnattery or Shattery or
whatever.
Whatever the fuck his name is.
Are you okay? How's your voice?
My voice is...
I will say, yeah, that...
I'm advocating for the listeners who listen to you every day and go,
that
is Jack okay?
Daily Zeitgeist was mad scuffed, but, you know, I was going to let you finish it.
Were you screaming at us last night?
Yeah.
No, I have a cold.
Oh, okay.
Shit. All right. Yeah. Iffy, why don't we go over here?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not anything cool. My 2-year-old sneezed into my mouth.
Oh man.
You just tell people you ate a bunch of ass. That's right, a lot cooler.
Yeah. Much cooler.
Ate a bunch of ass in my throat. My throat clogged.
You know that ass, man. Sound like Miles Davis.
Yeah, that's why Miles Davis.
Yeah, like motherfucker, that. I don't count eating a bunch of ass. So.
I'm sorry, but yes, yeah. Papa John.
Papa John's has replaced John. Papa himself with Shaq.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
Yo, before you finish that, I was just going to be, because I didn't know this was coming, I was going to be like, you should replace it with a black guy. Well,
boom.
They did.
All right, exactly. I guess he did it, Papa John.
I mean, he's rolling in his grave.
Yeah, great PR move. Replace the racist white guy with a lovable, gigantic black dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, NBA Hall of Famer.
You want some pizza?
Yeah. But he's not. He's what, just like the like a brand ambassador?
Right. Okay. He's going to be a brand ambassador.
Oh, and also joining the board of directors.
Yeah. Okay. So like it's more than just like he's in one of our commercials.
Right.
He's
in they put him
there.
In the company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's too much. Y'all doing too much with these.
So first thing I want to bring up is your door's too small. I keep coming into Papa John's.
He's just too sweet.
Too sweet.
I think that's what I hope. I mean, look.
That's what's next.
They've solved their PR problem. Are they going to solve their pizza problem? Shit's too sweet.
Yeah.
The sauce is too sweet.
With me, I'm always dunking it in that garlic sauce.
Yo, of course.
One thing I will always
dunking
give them.
It,
that,
hence Shaq.
Yeah. Ah. That garlic sauce is slaps. And that's why it hurt to have this trash dude in charge. Because I was like, that's the one thing y'all got right.
Well, I'm back now. You can get down with Papa John's.
Go ahead and smash Shaq.
Jack is wildly speculating about Shaq's health, though, too.
I just worry about his health. I don't know, man.
He's DJing now, too? What's that all about?
He's like doing dubstep, dude.
He's
I love
so big,
Shaq
man.
Diesel, the DJ. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, what did we say? You said in 2004, he was what?
He was 370, I think they said.
Oh my God.
340. And
so yeah.
I mean, players don't necessarily tell the truth on those, like, on that publicly available information. And the dude has blown up since then. So I'm just saying, you got to watch out for your health, man.
Yeah, please don't do a Andre the Giant on us.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, at least he chose to go with the pizza brand that has a candy bar's worth of sugar in each piece.
But it's got that sauce. That's the one thing, again.
Right.
You know, that
also good for your health.
Yeah, that's just like margarine.
With
garlic flavor.
I didn't really know what the story was about, Miles, but so Breaking Bad is making one of the beers. I don't remember this beer.
Okay, so every time I would watch Breaking Bad in a blunt-induced haze, I would always fantasize about eating a 3-piece dark meat combo from Los Pollos Hermanos and washing it down with a Schrader Brow, which was Hank. Remember, if you remember, towards the latter seasons, Hank was starting to make his own homebrew beer.
Okay.
And that's
in his garage.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when in his garage. So now God has proven that he is real because it has been announced, like, Sony, like, has given the okay along with the dude, whatever, Norris, the dude who played Hank in the show. They are partnering with a California brewery, Figaro Mountain Brewing Company, to bring legit Schrader Brow to life. And it's, quote, brewed to silky perfection in 22-ounce bottles with a healthy 6.3% ABV coming in May. Dean Norris, that's his name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember, like, scenes where he was, like, trying to put the caps on his own beer and do all that stuff. So, I like when anything from a movie or TV show becomes a real product.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm still trying to buy that Nokia Matrix phone, though. Ooh. I really want that. Yeah. I think it was supposed to come out by now.
Yeah. 6.3 is the healthiest ABV, right?
It's very healthy. I don't know what they mean by healthy. I guess because it's, you know, a little higher octane.
Gets
you a little buzz
high
going.
Octane.
What are some other, like, movie things you think you'd want?
Well, like, first of all, the Air Mags from Back to the Future.
I mean, those exist, but they're dead expensive.
Yeah. I mean, that's a shoe that, like, I was like,
and then they're low-key trying to roll them out, but the looks are not popping.
No,
and the price is not popping. I'm like, wait till it's cheap. Like, we don't have to rush this.
The Marty McFly sneaker. I always wanted a Turtle Com.
Yeah.
From Ninja Turtles. The
thing.
It was like the communicator device they had. It was like shell, but that never came out.
Kit from Knight Rider.
Yeah, Kit from Knight Rider would be cool.
Yeah, I'm ready to go full Minority Report and have computers in my head. Like, totally ready to just for that.
What was that drug? Well, Clarity? That.
Yeah, yeah.
Want some Clarity?
Yeah.
I would do some wild hits of Clarity.
But just the operating system, like the way that he scrolled through shit was
with
tight.
Like the gestures.
Yeah. That was like my prediction. I was like, that's what's going to be happening with the iPad. That's how you're going to like scroll through it. And I was wrong.
You're like using it way all wrong. I'm like, right. What's with the wild hand gestures?
My thing though is like, it's only like, I feel like on the forefront of new technology, the smut comes way too quick. Like, people are going to be weird with the Minority Report technology.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a guy, mouth agape, sitting on the sidewalk, and you already know what's going on. You're like,
come on, man.
Right out here.
Public.
Yeah.
Right.
I think also Good Burger. I would like to have a Good Burger.
Oh, yeah.
You can
have
a Good Burger?
Home of the Good Burger. Man, take your order.
I can hook you up with a Mondo Burger.
Oh, really?
There's a place called Monster Burger in Crenshaw, and their burger patties are so thick that it's like crazy. I was like, oh, this is what a Mondo Burger would
be. Do a background check before you get it?
Ooh, I put it next to my DS stacked up, and it was taller than that. I was like, this is too much. I might die. Here it is.
Oh, no.
Speaking of.
It takes like a good 30 minutes or so for them to cook.
That put a couple inches on your biceps.
Yeah.
Speaking of Flock of Seagulls, Big Kahuna Burger always looked good to me.
Oh, yeah. That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Yeah, that's right. All right. We are going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, Zeitgang, this is super producer DJ Daniel. The following segment was recorded before the summary of the Mueller report was issued. The team will be releasing an additional short reaction piece later today, so enjoy this part now and look for that additional piece very soon right here in the feed. Thanks so much.
And we're back. And Mueller, Robert Mueller, has turned in his paper.
James Bond.
The world was on the edge of its seat. And so as we record this, guys, the Attorney General has just received the report. He is reviewing it. He has said that he thinks he will probably give the main conclusions over to Congress this weekend. But yeah, as of right now, the main thing that this has caused is for everybody on CNN and Fox News to repeatedly say various versions of the phrase, we just don't know. We just don't know.
Yeah, and no one's known, because right. We only know as much as we can from court documents from certain people being indicted.
Right.
And even then, everyone was like, but you know, we don't know what Robert Mueller knows.
Right.
But it seems like, at the very least, right, you know, even though I'm sure many things have developed since we've recorded this, but what we can say definitively is that his probe is basically over.
His probe is over. Trump's kids were not indicted. Kushner was not indicted when it comes to like Mueller-based Russia stuff.
Yeah.
Q probably was not right because the Obamas and the Clintons never got arrested by Mueller and shirtless, ripped Donald Trump.
But Jack, I have to just stress, We just don't know.
We just don't know.
And that's the one thing, despite all of this, you know, knowing, I know a lot of people maybe thought, is there something with Julian Assange left to talk about? Are there other threads that we don't know about Donald Trump Jr.? But again, we just don't know. And it's amazing how these news channels are filling up hours and hours of coverage at this time of being like, oh my God, we have the report. It could mean this. It could mean this. Doing like all kinds of different permutations of what could happen or what this probe could look like or what the report could look like, and then undercutting it all by ending it with, but again, I just have to stress,
right,
we just don't know.
Yeah. I mean, so a couple of the things that people have talked about that, you know, this could mean basically that, you know, the fact that there aren't more indictments doesn't necessarily mean Trump is not implicated by the report, because Mueller has said, you know, he wouldn't indict a sitting president, or at least that was the...
He would respect the guidelines.
Yeah, he would respect the guidelines, which said not to indict a sitting president, so...
But we just don't know.
We just don't know.
I mean, who knows? Cut to Wednesday morning, is the president being marched out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with handcuffs on? We just don't know.
Almost, you know, definitely, though.
You know, there's so many things we don't know, like that. What was really going on with Julian Assange? Was he really, you know, like, what was going on with him and Roger Stone? Is weed smoke affecting my ED? Why did my dad choose March 7th?
to tell me about him and my mother splitting up. We just don't know.
All things we will find out this weekend, though. So, yeah.
So I guess we'll just leave it there. There's nothing juicy. And I think like everything like we've said on this show, too, we're never counting on this to be the thing that will save us. Because we're already living in an environment where half the country believes one set of things and the other believes another. So even if this was the most damning thing, would that move the Republicans in the Senate or the House to actually do anything about it? We just don't know.
We know. It wouldn't have done shit.
I feel like even at this point in his presidency, no matter what, it could be damning or whatever, it's just going to be that, well, his term's almost over, so we'll just see what happens at the election and then hope that people forget.
Yeah, but we just don't know.
Right.
I guess we should move on to things.
His first term, I should say.
Yeah.
So what do we know about the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee?
Yo, they can eat their own ass.
Ooh.
Fully.
That's amazing.
Put me on wax, okay, D-Triple C?
I'm listening.
The D-Trip, which is shorthand for them. Look, they are a very important resource for anyone who is running for office as a Democrat because they, you know, they're the committee that on behalf of Congress. They help funnel resources and manpower to campaigns, connecting them with, like, consultants, with people that who help with strategy or polling or TV, like, anything. Anything.
Right.
And they're also the same idiots who seem to want to prevent any progress in the Democratic Party because they've just announced new guidelines that basically blacklists any consultants or firms from working with someone who's going to primary an incumbent. So they want to basically do away. They don't like the AOC Ayanna Pressleys of the world who came in with a more progressive agenda and whoop, out goes the centrist. And they're like, they're basically trying to get control back. So this is from, I think, the National Journal. It says, the new protocol, intentionally debuted early in the off year before most campaign hiring begins, presents a stark financial deterrent to the country's top firms that provide essential services, and it could cripple would-be primary opponents' ability to entice top talent to join their staff. And so it's, you know, it goes on, the DCCC is often the gatekeeper for consultants and candidates, and unless you have a steady stream of income coming from another source, it would be very difficult to navigate the House world if you were shut out by the DCCC. So, essentially, they're saying, like, look, we're down with business as usual. We're okay with protecting tired-ass incumbents who are just, like, just want to be just left of Republicans and, like, let it rock like that because I think they saw, I don't know, clearly this is a message, I think, to progressives that they do not like the energy that we're generating.
I mean, what's dumb about it, and I think is initially going to fuck them in the end, is all they're doing is alienating the new core.
Right.
We're finding out every day that more and more the younger Democrats are more progressive. So if you want to go ahead and alienate that and then see what happens when y'all get passed up and then just fossilize and get left in the dust, just know that's your own unmaking, but that's par for the course for the D-Trip because every problem we've had so far has been their own unmaking. Their soft approach to going up against the – just basically like, you know, that's the only thing I think Trump supporters really got right is they have been cucking the Democrats for this long. They literally they do some wild shit. We never want to call it out. We never want to really make them face the facts of their words. We walk around the bush. We still try and be respectful. And, you know, as dope as that speech goes, you know, when they go low, we go high. That's just not how it works because it's always been working against us. And instead of trying to find new ideas, new ways to do it, they're just hoping to wait their turn. And it just kind of goes to show you they've kind of revealed this in things that they said in the way that they've been mad at, you know, AOC and all these other progressives because they had the next spot in line. And that's not how politics work, bro. It's not like just some private sector you work. It's how it's been working. And now we see why. And I'm glad we're starting to just rip it apart.
Yeah.
So
go
ahead, keep doing you.
The problem is, though, if all the machinery of the establishment of the Democratic Party is working against progress, eventually, what is there going to have to be a third party or something? That's the thing. There is clearly so much energy for progressive Democrats that it's scaring all these traditional donors and the status quo. But like you said, it's going to be of their own making. And like it seemed like the Democrats were starting to figure out like what was good, like what good messaging was with the way the House, you know, flipped in the midterms. It's like, okay, this seems to be good. We have some progressives out here who are like really energizing districts. They're flipping seats. But then they don't like the people who are so down with progress, who are like, we also need to take the numbers of people who are standing in the way of helping working people
right.
and doing all these other things, not doing things in service of the financial industry or whatever,
right.
Where most of the money, a lot of the money comes from the Democratic Party. Yeah. But
they're hurting the Democratic Party in the interest of strengthening their own, like the DCCC's.
Well, just, yeah, the establishment. Yeah, they're just right. circling the wagons to their own detriment. And, like, they're not realizing where all the energy is right now.
Right. It's like they think they're the ones generating the power rather than they're the ones reacting to people. Like
right.
This almost suggests that they think what happened is AOC was a candidate who, like, used the system without their knowledge, and they just had to clamp it down. Because it's not a movement to the left of the people. It's just something that accidentally happened that they just need to clamp
down.
Yeah,
they're like,
so
oh, whoa, how'd that one get in?
Right. Ugh. It's just such a ass backwards way of viewing politics. But it makes sense that they view it that way. It's just not a good thing for, I think, anybody who's progressive.
Yeah, and I think it also just underlines sort of where the leadership is, or at least where the traditional leadership is of the party, they're not really interested in actual progress too, because there's a report in Politico about all the top donors and the traditional elites of the party are like, they're all in for Joe Biden. Like,
right.
And that's another example of ignoring the groundswell of support for progressive causes and issues and basically saying, ooh, can we just take it down a notch? Let's give people the sort of mirage of progress
right.
and see if we can win that way. Because when you look at, like, so in Politico, they were talking to some of, like, you know, the traditional big donors for the party and trying to get a temperature of, like, oh, who are you interested in?
Right.
And it's always like, again, just a few quotes from this article. Everyone is basically saying Biden. Quote, his great strength is he's regarded as a very strong candidate to defeat Donald Trump and unite the party and the country.
His great strength is he's regarded as a strong candidate?
Exactly.
So it's just a self-fulfilling thing. It's just horse race bullshit.
Yeah, they're like, a lot of it is like this thing of, oh, he's the guy who can beat Trump. And also he's the safest person in terms of not like just flipping Wall Street on its head or taking care of like real issues that are going to affect people in these certain businesses. Another person. A venture capitalist, Steve Wesley, and former state controller of this state, California, also said another one, that Biden is, quote, the best qualified and has the stature and experience to win the race.
Uh-huh. The stature being the height?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or the he's not a woman?
Right.
I don't know.
I think that's what that means. But he has the most foreign policy experience for
and
sure.
He's served in the executive, sure, you can, yes. Of course, of all those things, yes, that's all verifiable. Are his ideas stale as fuck? Yes. Does he have like fucked views on things from the past that he really needs to explain? Yes.
Right.
But again, I think they just see like, look, we did good with Obama, why can't we just get the same sort of just the same thing?
But it's like Democrats are allergic to the actual, like, the movement, the energy of that, like, actually drives politics.
Right.
Like,
and, yeah.
I feel like if the Trumpism thing happened to the Democrats and, like, there was a, like, base that was rising up, the Democrats would, for the better of the country, have, like, squashed that or found a way to knock it down. It's just that when it's a progressive upswell of, you know, people, energy and people, like, wanting to do something good for the country, they still want to knock it down.
Right. And to a certain extent, you can argue that's sort of what happened with Bernie Sanders, too, in the run-up for the nomination, because that was someone who was a threat to a lot of these sort of business interests that are typical top donors. Another person, Denise Bauer, this woman's interesting because she became the ambassador to Belgium after raising more than $4 million for Obama's campaigns. So this is someone who is like just in the machinery, you know what I mean?
Right.
And going, oh, I've been encouraging Vice President Biden to run. I think the country needs him. And if he gets in, I will be with him. And when they talked to a few other people, like another guy who like ran some mortgage bank who had to deal with a lot of fines for predatory lending was like, I love Joe Biden. It's like, oh, nope, yeah. There it is. And even the people who are like not in this line, I mean, the ones who have gone rogue, they're backing wacky candidates like Beto or Mayor Pete or Jay Inslee. But basically, No one who is a woman or someone who has a very strong, like, economic equality agenda.
Right.
And I think that shows you where, like, where the traditional democratic power structure, like, where what they're trying to maintain and trying to figure out, like, if this is going to work with the base, what isn't.
Well, what's going to suck is it's, I hate to call it this early, but Biden is going to win. Because he already has the D-trip back at him. And then also, I do think there's going to be that element of like, that was the guy who was smiling behind Obama. And I think that's going to go a lot harder than we think it is. Like, I'd love to have more faith in people being as, you know, selective and you know, as paying a close attention to the candidates. But I think it's all going to come down to, like, this is the dude associated by with the guy.
I mean, everyone, like you said, yeah, the DNC, everyone is basically saying, this is the safest choice.
Right.
We feel like they're using the poll numbers to give them a warm feeling in bed at night. But that's where I hope these debates people turn up, because if a few people, you know, if he gets pressed on that debate stage in the wrong way, things can change very quickly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we will see.
We just don't know, you know.
We just don't know.
And I really want to stress that.
Yes.
Just don't know what will happen. But
that would be a good podcast.
We just don't know. It's just 40 minutes of cool ideas, but then at the end being like, but that doesn't matter because we just don't know.
So the Fox News problem with advertisers has continued. Janine Pirro has continued to be suspended after her string of Islamophobic comments that lost her a significant number of advertisers. Tucker Carlson's advertising money has been on a downward spiral, basically, since his Dirty Immigrants comment, and Media Matters clips didn't help.
Yeah.
They don't have that many advertisers left.
It's really bad. They're saying since December, when he said, you know, and immigrants are just dirtier and they bring disease. That thing, from then until about like last week, he's lost 26 major advertisers. And they're losing more by the minute. And basically right now, Fox is just replacing commercials like that would have been ad space that people would have paid for with just their own in-house advertising.
Oh, that's rough.
So it's tough because having a primetime news show that is like has a lot of like the top, I think, right? He's like one of the top primetime news shows.
I think he is the top or the second behind Hannity.
Right. That is real money being lost on ad dollars. And if you're just replacing that with your own internal advertising, that's a lot of money. And I think many people are not speculating or just sort of pointing to the fact that if there is a really pronounced, like, extended boycott of his show, Fox is really going to have to do some thinking around that, because they cannot just be like, okay, free space, just eat that and you can keep, you know, rocking in the free world.
Yeah, that shit actually works. I mean, it was public pressure that got them to fire Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
It's been public pressure that's gotten a lot of right-wing organizations to finally admit to fuckery.
Yeah. And if you think about it, look at the people that are still rocking with the human ingrown hair known as Tucker Carlson. It's MyPillow, MyPhoto, Reputation Defender, some gutter protection thing called Leaf Filter, that like Pods storage company, and Purple Mattresses.
Come on, Purple. Try harder. What the fuck y'all doing? Do better.
And some other thing called Zona Plus, like a health device. But yeah, that's
it.
Yeah.
We got to get those people. We got to let those companies know.
Dude, the MyPillow guy is not going anywhere. He loves Trump.
Oh, yeah. He's all about it. I can't wait for that company to go under. I'm sure it's backed by Daddy's Millions. But sooner or later, the pillow manufacturing. I mean, that and probably the, you know, you have those like right wing boys probably buying up all the MyPillows they can to support this guy for.
What is it a MyPillow that makes it different than a fucking pillow?
I've never.
Also, I have shitty pillows, man.
Because it calls me the N-word when I sleep on it.
My pillow is just a bunch of, I just ball up a bunch of towels.
Yeah that's not
that's
good,
my
man.
Pillow.
Yeah. And then you come in complaining about back problems.
Neck pains, yeah. I have a terribly compressed vertebrae in my neck, but anyway.
All right.
That's neither here or there.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back, and speaking of Fox, Disney and Fox have merged. Not Fox News, unfortunately. That would be
a great
unqualified good thing if anybody took over Fox News, but
and they just like melted it down.
Yeah, they just replace it with Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, right. Mouse News.
There you go. But the Disney-Fox merger is basically joining two companies that are now responsible for, I think, something like 35% of the movie industry.
Yeah.
It's massive.
It's, I mean, you know, this whole merger, a lot of people were like, I think on one hand, if you're a comic book fan, you're like, oh, are the X-Men finally able to enter the fray?
So it was funny. Just last week, I was on Collider Heroes, and we were talking about the merger. But we were talking about the possible cool stuff that could happen. And then, Coy, he gave this this upfront where he's like, look, there's a lot of shitty things that are going to happen with this. This isn't that show. So now I'm on that show to right. talk about all the shitty things, and it's going to be super trash.
It could be it's already like there are executives losing their jobs left and right. Not that I care about them, but they're estimating anywhere between 4,000 and 10,000 jobs being lost.
Oof.
And on top of it, Disney, man, they are stingy with that motherfucking money. They're like, they're talking about severance packages, they're saying that employees have been told they will get 2 weeks for every year served with a 2-year maximum.
What?
So you could have worked there for 10 fucking years. And they're going to give you 4 weeks of severance.
Of severance.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And also, they're not really being upfront or clear with anybody of like what is going to ultimately happen with their job, which is a terrible place to be in, especially after a merger or any acquisition. Like, you're unsteady. You don't know what the fuck is going to happen. They're just playing the cards very close to the chest. I'm like, well, things will become clear, you know, as the year goes on. So they say in a year, they'll figure it out. So that's one element of the shittiness. Another thing, one of the first Disney decisions, they basically shuttered Fox 2000, that studio that was an offshoot that did like cool movies like The Hate U Give, Life of Pi.
Right.
They were making like sort of not the huge tentpole films, but films that, you know, let's tell some different stories rather than like our just mega blockbusters.
The continued death of mid-level movies that don't cost $100 million.
Exactly.
And aren't supposed to make $100 million.
Right. And that's now the concern, because with Fox and Disney, like you're saying, that's 35% of the movie market. And it's odd because, you know, a deal like this big, the DOJ, like antitrust division, has to sort of like go over it. But it only took like half the time to actually vet this deal than normal. And everyone's like, what the fuck? And their whole thing was like, look, the biggest thing we're concerned about is like these two, like 22 regional sports networks. They're like, get rid of those. Right. And then we'll feel like you're not actually like harming competition in like local sports programming markets.
Right.
But it's just like, okay, well, hold on. What's going on? The Congress didn't even have any hearings about this. Trump is like, I love this. He hated the AT&T one.
Uh-oh. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, because that's CNN. Oh, wait, but this is Fox, Rupert Murdoch.
Right.
So he's like, yeah, get your money, baby.
Yep.
I'll make this easy.
Rupert Murdoch talks to Jared Kushner every day and Trump like nearly every day on the phone. And there is reporting in the New Yorker article saying that Trump was specifically trying to block the Time Warner merger, and who knows how much he put his foot on the DOJ from stopping this one.
Right. I mean, not if anything, he was like kicking them to approve it.
Right. Remember when we were really worried about the
nuclear war?
Nuclear war.
Climate change?
But that other conservative news.
Sinclair?
Sinclair.
Yeah.
And that got shut down by the FCC.
Yeah.
So that's another deal that they're pointing to, probably coming from Rupert Murdoch's close relationship with the Trumps, is that he, you know, shuttered that because Sinclair is, they would be competition to Fox.
Right.
So in that respect, it actually helped us. But this is one of the respects that it's going to actually make the entertainment industry a shittier place.
Well, yeah. And also, like, with them controlling, like, the movies, like, they have the power, like, to really shift the movie industry, like, in significant ways. Like, for example, apparently, like, when The Last Jedi was out, they were fucking aggressive with the movie theaters, basically saying it has to be on the biggest screen for at least 4 weeks or we will not give you the film.
Right.
And then also, like, having, like, penalties for theaters who, like, fell short of the 4 weeks or it wasn't their biggest screen. So, you know, there's, like, consent decrees that sort of protected the this sort of thing. Like, there's the Paramount decree. It's, like, from 1948. It was basically saying, break up studio and movie theater control. That way studios can't be, like, making movies and owning the theaters that they play them in. That way there's a little, like, they can be separate but just rock a little bit more independently of each other.
Yeah.
And now that, if that's scrapped and like it's being, I think the DOJ is like actually reviewing this now, this new Disney Fox thing could really expand like their influence that would hurt us as consumers.
Yeah. Disney has been making pretty great stuff for a couple decades now. And so people are kind of have a okay feeling about how Disney operates. But like there was a time when they basically had a monopoly on animated movies. Like they were the only company that made animated movies, and their movies fucking sucked for like decades. And then like other people started making animated movies and they started making classics like The Little Mermaid. But during the 70s and 80s, man, Disney was not making good movies. And like that's what happens when you don't have competition. Like all the animators who went off and like founded Pixar, they started out at Disney and they were like, this place sucked to work at. Like you couldn't get a good idea made. So they had to go off and start their own things. So
right.
Now like we have Disney basically becoming a monopoly of all movies. And that probably is not going to be a good thing.
But it seems like at the end of the day, like Disney isn't as hell bent on like dominating the film industry as they are just trying to take over Netflix. Because now, you know, when they launch their streaming service pretty soon, they have the entire Fox library as well. So, you know, that's, I think their eyes are more like they want to take over the streaming game from Netflix.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see. The one, if I look at the positive thing, is I would like to see the X-Men.
Yeah.
You know, hop up in here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with some X-Men, X-Force type shit. You know what I mean? Get it in like that.
So I mean, what is the, like,
Fox owns X-Men.
Right. So the storyline that you guys have been wanting to see is the X-Men basically join the Avengers universe?
Yeah, because basically within the X-Men, within the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because the properties were so split up, there was no crossover available.
Right.
That's why it's taken so long to get the Spider-Man included in the Avengers. So that's going to be cool. Like, it's still bad, but I thought their share of the movie market was a lot higher than 35%. Mm. And, you know, knowing there's guys out there like Blumhouse, A24, who won't budge to these folks. And I think that it sucks. That's 10,000 jobs. And I only hope, and I think it really is, I hope the new wave is making sure we get these unions involved, because that union wouldn't let a company pull some mess like that. They're about to make how much money? And they're trying not to spend it, you know.
Right.
Now I'm like kind of regurgitating almost WGA type stuff. But like, they have that money. It's sitting there, but they won't pay it if they don't have to, because when you get that rich, you just tell yourself, oh, the reason I got this rich is being frugal, when no, it's just because it's been handed down from generation to generation through shifted gears and fucking over lower employees and lifting ideas and claiming them as your own. That's mm-hmm. how you got that, not mm-hmm. from being frugal.
right.
So it's always just interesting to see these moves, and like, we'll see how long until Bezos buys them.
Right, and he's right. like, bigger flex.
Yeah.
Amazon, Fox, Disney, Afazvini.
Right.
Or whatever he would call that. I hope they do well, because Apple is about to step in too. Because I think today, Monday, they are in the midst of announcing their, or probably having the event where they're going to announce like their new streaming platform.
Yeah.
And again, that's another thing, like the Mueller report, we really don't know what it is.
Right.
I mean, the one thing we can say about the Mueller report, just to kind of get back to that, is there are no additional charges.
Yep.
Coming from that.
No additional.
But we'll see what that means. Because in the end, I don't know. We just don't know.
Right. Means Q was not right. And also the people who were hoping that Trump would be marched out of the White House in handcuffs aren't right yet.
We just don't know. We just don't know. And that's really the theme of the day.
Well, Iffy, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Where can people find you, follow
you? Well, you know where y'all can find me. Ify-D-Way, IFYNWADIWE on Twitter and Instagram. IfD's on Twitch. A lot of Zeitgangers been rolling up, and I truly appreciate it. If you have Amazon Prime, you can give me a sub for straight up free. I'm like 6 subs away from 100. We're trying to hit 100 this month. Let's get this sub going. If you like playing games too, come play with me. I play on PC though. But if enough of y'all come through rolling and repping that console gang, I'll hop on the console and play with y'all. And besides that, you know, now I'm officially partnered by Corsair. So definitely, if you need any RGB keyboards, mice, or mouse pads, yo, click the link on my Twitter.
There you go.
Knock that
Look,
one
I'm
in.
Living these game dreams, baby. I'm a fish.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh man, the tweet that I've been enjoying has been this scene from look, I'm gonna bring it back to myself, because you know I have no shame. But it's been a scene that I've shared from Teen Titans. I don't know if y'all saw it on my Twitter, but you know, it addresses racism in a way I did not expect. I'm gonna blast it just through the. I think it's gonna be loud enough to for everyone to hear. But just want you to peep this clip.
So he's calling you a terrible name. And you know that if you punch him out, it'll just confirm all the bad stuff he thinks about you.
I should point out that this is Cyborg saying this, and he's a half black, half cyborg,
a Blyborg.
Yes. You know what it feels like to be judged simply because of how you look?
Of course I do. I'm part robot.
Damn, I missed the point on that one.
Yeah, yeah, really missed the big eye.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I laughed so hard because
we live in a post-racial reality here.
Of course I do. I am
half robot.
Oh my gosh, it's my favorite thing I've seen on the internet, and so I tweeted it out to share it with you all.
Yeah. All right. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, and you know, catch DZ in the DZ in the Dark Zone. Because I think I'm going to have to put together a, you know, Division 2 clan for Zeitgang so we can mob out in there. I know I've been talking a lot of shit about playing with y'all in the video games, but I'm grinding out on PS4, and we'll get something going. Now, some tweets I like. One is by, former guest, Blair Saki, who says, my whole vibe is has a separate freezer of meat. Because I don't know why that really came up. Another one is from Shane Moss. It says, most of my material comes from after shows when audience members give me jokes I can use for my skit. I love when people come out. Hey, man, here's a joke for your skit.
Yeah.
And another one, finally, it's from Flirt Russell. Katie Delaney, who was crushing it with those engineer in the booth rap videos last week or the week before. She quote tweeted Shawn Mendes, who said, wow, I love Italy. And hers was like, Diane Lane be like, wow, I love Italy.
A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Oh, no, she twittened. Tweeted, who decided to call it being anti-vax instead of Jenny McCarthyism? which I like. And Stay Popular tweeted, Lord, grant me the serenity of an older white man who's passionate about cycling. they're everywhere.
You ever see those like middle-aged, like washed packs of like cyclists all in the fucking
everywhere.
Gear? Yeah. The thing that kills me about it is people dressing up so over the top for that shit.
Right.
When they do not like, yo, you're not really cutting down the drag already.
Exactly.
Like, you got to, anyway, but look, if you want to cosplay like Lance Armstrong, do your thing.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's Lance Armstrong cosplay.
But I like, though, that Lance Armstrong gave like middle-aged people, like men, to be like, see, that's a wave I can hop on.
It's basically like baseball managers wearing the uniform
too.
Yeah, like, why do y'all do that? Yeah. That's fucked up. That's mean to baseball managers because they shouldn't do that. It's like these dudes do it to themselves.
Yeah, like I remember just looking at Tommy Lasorda when he was managing the Dodgers, like as a kid, and being like, why does he wear one?
Right.
Like he's going to get out there and play.
I think basketball coaches should do that shit. That would be hilarious.
Oh, my. Wearing the fucking warm-ups or a jersey?
Yeah. That's what my friend Chris said. Doc? That he thought coaches should. Yeah, Doc.
I think just make it a whole rule.
Well, think about like Jeff Van Gundy when he coached the Knicks, like in a Knicks uniform is like my favorite one to imagine. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song Ride Out on Miles West. I can be there.
Hey, could you imagine Stan Van Gundy, though, in a full uniform?
Yeah. That is what's
yes.
Yo, how hairy do you think his shoulders
are? I would have loved. Yes, let's just make this a rule. Whatever, if you're a coach, you have to wear the same uniform as the players.
Yeah.
Great.
It would only make Bill Belichick's uniform or like sideline gear like
make sense.
Yeah, it would make more sense.
Yeah, whatever, you know, it might work for some people. Anyway, the song we're going to go out on, because we just don't know much about anything right now. Or at least
just
at the time
know.
Of this recording, maybe a lot has happened. And anyway, I just want to leave y'all with some music that will make your big toes shoot up in your boot, pop through, and go hit the moon. Because this is a track from Lizzo featuring Missy Elliott called Tempo. And if you want to talk about generations colliding, this is the fucking song we needed. So this is Tempo, Lizzo featuring Missy Elliott. Get it in.
Get it in, guys. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you then. Bye!
I'm a thick bitch, I need tempo. Fuck it up to the tempo. Pity pat, pity pat, pity pity pat. Look at my ass, it's fitty fitty fat. Kitty cat, kitty cat, kitty kitty cat. Pour me a glass, boy, I like my water wet. Throw it back.
Throw it back, good back.
Catch that.
Get that, get that.
Need a jack for all of this ass, but it won't go flat. Baby, baby, come eat some of this cake. He look like he could gain a little weight. Lick the icing off, put the rest in your face.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.